Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Saul. Seahawks! Presented by the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and Top Fitness.
Coach, good morning.
Hey.
Just me today. Brock is out sick, unfortunately.
Come on, Brock.
I know.
Get well.
It's a tough weekend for him. He'll hopefully be back tomorrow. Let's start before the game yesterday. What's the process in making the decision on Geno?
He couldn't go. He couldn't run full speed. I mean, he couldn't. He could run around, jog around, but when he had to push off in one direction, the way away from his groin, the soreness, he couldn't. He couldn't fire, so he couldn't play. It really came out pretty clear. You know, he was fighting the whole way. He was going. And his mentality was exactly where it was supposed to be. And he knew he couldn't. So it was clear. So we'll go another week and we'll just go day after day and see what happens. This extra day helps a little bit, you know, and all that, of course. But meanwhile, you know, we went with Drew, and I thought Drew did a nice job yesterday. I don't know what you thought, but I thought he came through and was comfortable and made plays, made a couple, you know, bonehead throws that he shouldn't have done. But other than that, you know, what do you expect? My guy's going to have a couple plays in the game, and I thought he carried us with a chance to win the football game if we just could have kept rolling.
Is that some of the silver lining in the Geno injury, just giving you an opportunity to see what you've got?
Without question, yeah, because Drew just, you know, he's been here a long enough time that he deserves to get out there and play. Everybody deserves it. The guys aren't here to watch. They're here to play. And so he was geared up for it. He did a really good job mentally, did a really good job with Shane in preparation to get the stuff ironed out so they knew what they were going to go with, that he felt good about. That's part of, you know, a big part of it for the Cube. And he did some really good things.
How does his preparation change for a start versus for being a backup? How much difference is there really in preparation?
To some extent, he is always preparing to play. Of course, he is. But the discussions about the decisions and the choices of what plays we're going to call zero into the quarterback's what he feels and how he understands him, how confident is he in this call that versus that call. And that's not the same. The guys are different in that regard. So as we wind closer to the game, the conversations are much more intimate about what are we actually going to call in situations and what are we expecting, and getting a feel for it to support the quarterback. And it didn't matter how many years you played, that's how you deal with it. And in this case, it was, you know, that conversation is real for Drew. He knows, you know, he realizes, okay, this is my shot. I've got to make really clear choices and decisions. He's not part of that discussion other than to listen in on it, you know, when it's Geno's game.
How about reps? I mean, how much does that percentage change?
Drastically. You know, he doesn't throw the ball to DK and Tyler during the week, hardly ever. He doesn't get a chance with those guys. He throws to the other guys. And so this is entirely different. And so, you know, and it wasn't a full week, but he had enough. And we transitioned mentally. We did a good job mentally. Everybody was counting on him playing, because we knew we could have him. We didn't know if we could have Geno. So everybody converted and made that, you know, that transition. And so the guys worked together well. You know, I didn't see that many issues at all in terms of them communicating with one another, seeing each other. Drew threw a ball into traffic one time, and the deep ball that gets picked, he just didn't throw it right. He needed to throw the ball outside and as far as you can throw it to DK, and it just didn't get there. And you know, he knew immediately that he had screwed it up, and that was an unfortunate play.
So is the expectation that he will take first-team reps this week?
Give me a couple days here. I don't have to decide that. Let's find out what's going on here. We'll figure out where Geno is. I think Geno's going to be pretty good, though, because he could run around. We just got to see if he can get through it. The point would have been he could have gone out there and played, and he's out. You know, what good would that do? You know, and then now we're set back another week. So I think it worked out as well as we could have worked it out in that regard.
How did he hurt it, Geno?
He finished a throw in practice, and one of our guys was just kind of crossing behind him and just clicked his heel a little bit, and he stumbled. And in that stumble step, he jolted his leg into the ground, and it jabbed his groin, you know. And it wasn't a violent play in any way. It wasn't a violent accident in any way. It's just an unfortunate kind of, you know, thing that happened to him. He got caught by surprise and landed funny. And he didn't even fall, I don't think. He just took a weird step.
Overall, team has now lost four straight for the first time since you've been here in Seattle. What is your level of frustration?
It's up. I'm there. This isn't where we've, you know, ever even prepared to be. And, you know, and it's been a lot of years since I've been through something like this. But what we have to do is we have to keep looking. It's still the finish of this season is sitting there for us, starting with Philly. It started with the Niners in this sense. We didn't get that one done. Now it goes to the Philly game, that matchup, and we have to keep climbing one shot at a time here to make something happen in the finish, which we certainly can do. We just have to get it done. There's some things that we're doing that we have to clean up and fix. But what happened in this game, there's 23 explosive plays in this game. They had 12, we had 11. And in that, the big plays for them, the 70-yard run sets up a score. The 50-yard third and 13 or third, whatever that was a total blunder. It was an easy play for us to make, a play that we practice all the time, and they got us for a touchdown play. And then we get fooled by Kittle again and a little play pass for another touchdown. There's three big plays that changed the football game. That's 21, and there are 21 points that come out of that, you know, in a 28-point game. So, I mean, I'm looking at this like I thought we played these guys close. I didn't think we played well. I thought we played okay, but we played these guys close to have a chance to win the football game, but we just gave them some opportunities, and it's really frustrating. It's really – because those are all things that we practice. There's all things that we see, and then when the moment came for the guy that had the chance, we didn't execute well. And then so really disappointed in that.
So from a fan perspective, why is that? How does that happen? What leads to that?
I would go back to the week in prep that when the moment came for those opportunities that we practiced, we didn't, you know, hit it seriously enough to make the impression that I got to make this play. It's Debo coming across on a deep cross right to Jamal. That's something that we've seen and we work on. It's a regular concept, and that never should happen, particularly in third and 13 or third and 11, whatever it was. And then the other one is on the right side when Kittle gets behind us on that. We saw that happen last year, and we corrected all of that through our training and our discipline of our footwork in our deep third play by the corner, and he didn't do it right. You know, he got caught in the play fake. He's not supposed to be part of the play fake. And so we give them a touchdown, and they execute it. They throw it and catch it. I give them all the credit, but that should never even have been a decision to throw. He should never even throw that ball. So that's what's frustrating because we're that close. The guy's got to do it right in the moment. You know, you got to do it right in the moment. We got to practice cleaner, better for Jamal. We got to make sure that he's getting his reps in practice that he can execute and get the timing. Reek's got to make his play. That's just one. That's a disciplined play. You do play after play after play. And it's unfortunate, you know. And so we have to do a better job of making them aware of how crucial it is to do right.
Do you think we could expect changes before Monday
night? There's some things we have to do here. There's some things we have to do, and we'll take care of business.
What does, you know, when you say that?
I'm not talking to you about it, okay? You just have to wait and see. My bad. Right. Can't help you. All sorry, right. Brock.
Brock,
I'm sure you're sick enough. You're not so sick you can't be listening out there. I can't imagine that level of sickness.
let me follow up one more time, though, because it's my job to do so. When you say changes,
we have to fix some stuff. We have to fix the process. We have to make sure that we're doing the right job as coaches to make sure they see the things that they need to see with the earnest that they can. They'll carry it to the game time. So when it happens right for us instead of happening wrong. And it's not very difficult to change that game. It's not very difficult. It's just doing things exactly right, and it's easy. It's part of the system. We should have got that done.
Do you feel like your message is getting through to the players?
Ask them. Next.
Okay. I guess the reason I ask, though, is not because of the messaging, but because it comes through the coaching staff to them. I don't mean
I have to do a better job in all areas. I'll tell you that every week, no matter what, because there's so many things that I might be able to affect. I might be able to affect the coach's mind, the player's mind, the team's mind, you know, and there's so many aspects of it. It's a fascinating, you know, opportunity to carry this out, but there's always so much more that you could hope to do and get done, because you want guys to be perfect. You want them to do things exactly the way we image it and picture it, and exactly the way we try to orchestrate it. And then when it comes to game time, when they don't, then I got to go right to the messaging. Mm-hmm. You got to go right to the prep, mm-hmm. The reps, the speed of the reps. Was it quality enough? Did we do enough to get the point across? Did we capture the guy that needed to be captured because maybe he didn't quite get the emphasis? It just goes on and on and on. It's a never-ending process that a coach is in. And ultimately, it's my responsibility to get that done. And if it doesn't get done, then I've got to go find the way to get it done. And so that's how I take it, and I don't know how to be more accountable than that. Not that that's admirable. That's just what you got to do and to get the job done.
So let me take you back through history, because you just said you couldn't remember a time when you'd lost four straight. It hasn't been at any point in Seattle.
Might have been UOP back in the day.
I mean, it might have been, right? I mean, your teams were so dominant at USC. I don't know whether you ever lost four straight in New England or New York.
No, it didn't happen in New York.
All right, so going back and just in your time, maybe it's not four straight, but when your teams have been down, what has helped you get them back out of it?
Consistency, belief, process, the things that we do on a regular basis with commitment and conviction so that they can't help but buy in. They can't help but be part of it. Our guys, we practiced hard and well last week. We were on it. The mentality of what we were trying to get done was there. We got big played in this game. And unfortunately, it didn't come through all of the cool stuff that we did in the mental prep. Those guys were ready to go. They were excited about it. They were jacked about it. They were determined. They knew they had to elevate. We knew we had to support and rally for Drew and make sure that he wasn't the messaging in the whole game, you know, and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And guys had to do well around him. All of that was really clear. And then we were so pumped we overrun the freaking toss in 70 yards on the inside the five. Right out of the chutes. You know, I was concerned about our guys being so jacked that we would over-pursue. I made a point to them during late in the week, you know, about their speed, our speed, and all that, so we wouldn't do it. And sure enough, the ball cut back on us. Four guys go rolling right past the football, and it's out the gate, you know. And that, you know, it doesn't help to have the premonition, you know. It helps to get the right point across and make sure that the execution is there for us when we need it.
This is me out of my element a little bit, because obviously I'm not the scheme guy. But when I think of Pete Carroll defense, deeper than the deepest, don't give up explosive plays, don't get beat deep. We talked a lot about that during the years, decade plus that we've been having these conversations. And I can think of very few times in our talks where you've called out specific players or anything. But years ago, I remember a backup safety getting beat deep a few times, and you just asked, not acceptable, and he wasn't around anymore. Has anything changed with, I know you've made some changes to the scheme. Is there any more aggressiveness being asked of the safeties and the guys in the back end that would lead to some more of these big play, big explosive plays, or is it just an execution issue? Does that make sense?
We do. If you're comparing back to whatever, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that, if you compare back, we did less then. We didn't have to do as much as we do now. We didn't have to adapt our looks and our stuff as much. It does lend for there's more spacing in there. You know, the guys have more assignments, more responsibilities, and things that vary and all that. However, I'm not using that as an excuse. That's no excuse to me, because we have honed our stuff down. Our techniques and the concepts that we ask guys carry over from one thing to the next and the next, and they should be able to. You know, that's why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because I think they should be able to handle it, and they do handle it generally. This is a really good team, and they have not just done this to us. They continue to do stuff with their guys, and they got it done again. And that's what pisses me off, because we had a chance. We had a real chance yesterday with the backup guy coming off the pine to go ahead and try to win a football game. He was ready to win that football game, and we could have done that, but we needed to support it. We just needed to come to. I mean, it's not even hard stuff, you know. I mean, as Mike says, it's easy stuff, and nobody doesn't understand it in our room, from the D linemen to the DBs. They understand the concepts and the principles of staying on top, and in the particular those situations, I don't mind mentioning those guys. Those guys, they know that they should have done that better, and they should have done that right, and they know exactly what happened. They just didn't quite get it executed at the right time. That's the game. This game is that way. And you watch all of these games on the weekends, you see play after play after play. Guys make errors instead of doing right. And it's hard to continue to do right. And it's the discipline of it. It just has to be there for you when you're going to go ahead and kick ass and win games.
We've talked a lot over the years about finding the strengths of your players and allowing those strengths to come out. Mm-hmm. How much time is spent on the opposite of that, of understanding some of the weaknesses that a player, like an acute weakness that a player might have, and trying to protect against that on the football field?
Yeah, there's some of that. I mean, that goes into, I mean, I would look at degrees of strengths, you know, lesser degrees of strengths maybe as opposed to weaknesses. But We have to do stuff to help our guys. Yeah, we're doing that all the time on both sides of the football, but that's not really the focus. The focus is what we're able to do and what we can do and how many chances can we put ourselves in so that we can continue to show well and do well. And so we're looking at the strength part of it rather than the weakness part of it.
The scene at the end of the game with DK and the ejection, what did you make of what happened on the field?
Well, he got hammered in the back of the head, and then it was, I don't know, we'll see what happens with that one. But then there was just exchanges, and frustrations and all that, comes out both sides of the football. And, the thing that I take away from that is watching some of our young guys try to figure out how they should get involved. Should they go out there and bump chest with somebody too, trying to figure it out. It was a mess. Fortunately, nothing stupid really happened. Nobody got hurt or hit or cheap shot or anything else. But that's going to happen sometimes. It's a bitter taste, and guys are ready to freaking fight. And that's what it went to fighting time. And that's not right. It's not okay. And that's why you get penalized. You get thrown out or whatever, So, I wish we would have cleared that. I wish we would have won the game and that happened. And I can hear them on the other side. They're chirping about, how it's going during that the fray of it. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, nothing really bad happened. And we take our hits.
You said you could see the young guys trying to figure out how to handle that situation. How do you want them to handle it?
I want them to understand how silly it is to go out there and get involved in something they don't even know they had nothing to do with, because they're trying to hold up their end of it, they want to do what they think is right. Mm-hmm. And so we'll learn from that. And I'm talking to specific guys when it happened. I'm out there with them. I'm trying to stop the thing. And they're not really even pissed off. They're just out there doing it kind of because they feel like they should. We got to learn how to do that. The other guys, their side was doing the same thing.
Right.
Both sides were doing it. That's just how that goes.
It's hard because on one hand, you don't want to see them do anything stupid. On the other hand, you got to protect your own players and have that team all-in mentality.
Yeah, you can miss the point. A bunch of those guys are pulling guys away from it to make sure they don't do the wrong thing. And so they're out there as well. And there's way more of that going on than somebody really popping off. And so it's a hard game.
What's been going on with the tackling defensively? Because it seems like that's
not good
been,
enough. Ain't good enough.
So what do you do as a coach where you don't?
This is the hardest team to tackle in football. Debo makes it that way. He's a ridiculously difficult guy to tackle, which we were thrilled about how we covered our kickoffs with him. John Rattigan had a great game in those situations right there because we give him so much respect. He is a big, strong, hard running dude, and he makes people miss. So that's one factor. McCaffrey is a really adept dude at getting clear and making guys miss and bouncing and sliding and ducking and dodging. He's good. Kittle's really good. So those are the three factors that we had to own up against and see if we could get them on the ground. And you have to team tackle them. You've got to be really consistent with your technique, and you've got to hang on, man. So it wasn't clean. Some of it comes from the frustration of trying to get the ball. If you notice, there's chances where you'll see guys go after the football. We have tried to weed our guys off that. Is that the right word?
Wean.
Yeah, I thought it was wrong. Yeah, wean our guys off of the emphasis, because we have so much emphasis about the ball, is to not miss the tackle because you're going for the football. We can't afford to do that. And there's a couple of those snaps in there. As the game gets late, guys are trying to get the ball back, and that's where their tackling gets sloppy. But all in all, tackling in the league at this time of year can get really shabby, and we can't be part of that.
Where's Witherspoon at today? Obviously, that hurt.
He got a hip pointer. I didn't know what it was last night. It's a hip pointer that he had. It's not in his ribs. They had him wrapped up like that, and the first initial was that they thought it was ribs. But he's got a hip pointer, so we'll see how that goes. We missed him. He is such a good football player, such a good tackler, situational player. We missed him in that game. You could tell. There's plays that he would have made in a special fashion that could have made it a little bit of a difference. It's unfortunate because he came out and knocked that ball down on that play. It was a terrific play he made when he got hurt. He was just getting warmed up.
It's been a frustrating week, obviously, a frustrating month. So a lot of this conversation is sort of dealing with it. For fun, let's go the other direction. Was there anybody who jumped out and maybe that I wouldn't have noticed that you thought played a good game or is making great strides, or over the last couple of weeks there's somebody that maybe we've kind of overlooked because
Well, I think Leonard Williams had a good game. I thought he played really well.
He's
in the
good,
game.
Huh?
He's a good football player, man. And he was tough at the line of scrimmage. He does the little things. You can see on the sack. I think the sack he winds up getting, he is setting that up in the game. He's trying to click off the offensive lineman, and then he bounce off and you ricochet into the rush. He did it perfectly and got himself a sack because of it. And he's not rushing the passer there. He's setting up the pass rush to get the twist going. Bobby came around clean and forced the issue too. But Leo was doing a really nice job. And he's a little banged up too. He didn't get to practice all week as much as we'd like to. But he did come through in a big way. He's playing in front of his potential father-in-law, Ronnie Lott, and the family were all there, you know, and made a big deal. So you don't realize all that. But that was a big deal to him. And
he's dating Ronnie Lott's daughter?
Yeah, I think, they're engaged. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's too personal. That should not be.
Well, that's fascinating.
Anyway, but Ronnie's such a special guy to me that I know how much impact he has, and he was really jacked to play in front of him, you know, the Niner crowd and the whole thing. But he did really well. I thought Michael Jackson did a really nice job coming off the bench in that game. Mike had a great week of practice, and we were preparing, seeing that Trey was having a struggle getting back, that he was going to go. And he went out and did some really cool things and played good aggressive football and got a couple wins on third down. As he had done in practice, it looked like he might have a good day, and he did. Kenny getting back out there, what a factor, man. What a factor. You know, I mean, that's not a surprise, but what a shocking play he makes when he's winding all the way back across the field and all that. It's just a matter of time that he's going to make something special happen. Zach Charbonnet did a really nice job again. Had a couple of really good runs back-to-back and got us ripping. I think you can see what we're trying to create there. We're trying to create that back and forth where those guys have the factor and bounce the ball around to the other guys, but that's steady. We need that more so to show up, and that's when we'll find our way at our best.
Coach, appreciate you taking the time, even on a difficult day. Sense the frustration, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Get well, Brock.
All right. There you go. There's Coach Carroll. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., hopefully with Brock. Until then, the hay is in the barn. See ya.
Bumpin' Stacy, weekdays 10 to 2.
How are you guys feeling about the Seahawks taking a quarterback in the 2024 NFL draft?
If you're basing off of this year, it's like you got to get a quarterback. Even if he were to have a stellar year, maybe repeat what he did last year, you still got to go get a quarterback. My man is 33 years old.
Yeah.
Right? And all you have is two seasons to go off of it. Now, I hope Geno just lights this thing up and he comes back next year. The Hawks still draft a quarterback, and now you can let that young man develop. And